Aubrey Masango Show on 702.
Let's walk the talk. Streaming countrywide on the 702 app.
Zain Mears, founder and CEO of the Fatherhood Foundation of South Africa, the author of the book Daddy, Come Home, but also a South African acclaimed actor, and he joins me now on the line. Brazain, thank you so much for joining me. I really, really appreciate you agreeing to come and talk to me. It is a highlight for me. I really, really appreciate it. Are you well?
Hey, I'm good, Aubrey. Thank you for having me, man. Yeah, I like to be as well. Always good to chat.
Where are you now, man? We're not seeing you in the screen. What's happening?
Yeah, you know what? You gotta go where the work is, man. And at the moment, the work for me is in a lot of the Mnet series.
Yeah.
So I'm doing an Afrikaans soapie at the moment called Binnenland. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've done one or two a movie for Netflix and that kind of stuff. So I've been constantly at work. Of course, I've written plays.
Yeah,
I've written a play. I'm busy writing a movie.
Wow.
And of course, what keeps me busy is the Fatherhood Foundation of South Africa.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about that. Let's talk a little bit about that. So this feature, Man Talk, that you've been invited on this evening is really about having those kinds of conversations about what does it mean to be a man in South Africa, in the world at this time, with all of the contextual stuff that's happening at this point. What does the role of a father play in the development of this thing called a man? Why is it important? Particularly in the context of more and more single parenthood families that are now part of our normal life. We've had this conversation before, and it's been very, very emotive, very, very teary. I mean, guys calling in, crying, talking about the absence of their father, even though their fathers have been physically present, but not being emotionally available to their children. Talk to me about the work of the Fatherhood Foundation and what it aims to achieve, Brazain.
Well, Aubrey, I must tell you, in the 15, 16 years that I've been doing this, one thing I've discovered is that our men, and I'm talking men of all races, because I've spoken in all 9 provinces to over 500,000 men, and I've discovered that our men are confused about the role that they have to play in society today. Men are caught between, in certain instances, their culture and their faith. Men are caught between gender roles that have swapped. Men are caught between, 10 years ago we had men going to work and bringing home the bacon. But what we see today is a man and a woman walking to the bus, the train, the taxi, and the car, and the woman getting into the bus, the train, the taxi, and the car, and men are now staying home. Mm. And this is pushing men into a position that they've never experienced. Since then, gender-based violence has been on the increase. Patricide and that kind of stuff is because the only way it would seem that men can still dominate or show their dominance is through physicality. And that is a pity. And I want to say, I was listening to you chat about government and leadership.
Yeah.
I believe there is a dearth, there's a vacuum of proper leadership today. And I want to say in particular, mentors and examples, men who do the right thing, men who stand up to do the right thing. There's a dearth of that. There's a vacuum. So what we find is men kind of making it up as they go along. They kind of switch to the default setting, which is the silent type, the silent, you greet the guy and all you hear is, and he's not going to emote. He's not going to show emotions. Yeah. He's not going to engage.
Yeah.
He's going to hide behind this thing called masculinity and pretend that
strong,
everything's
strong, silent
okay,
type, huh?
Yes, the Clint Eastwood, John Wayne, that thing, and yet that is not what is required in society today. My heart breaks that a good friend of mine, Patrick Shai, we used to do the same work. We spoke at many platforms together, that Patrick himself was going through something that he couldn't talk about. And this is the issue that is affecting our men today, is that they feel that the image of manhood that they've been fed over decades and centuries is just not working for them, and they don't know how to switch out of that stereotype.
Yeah.
This is my job. This is what I do. This is what I go around the country trying to get men to understand that masculinity and manhood is not necessarily what you have been taught through your culture, through your religion, through your family upbringing. We are trying to define exactly what manhood is and to tell men, for example, it's okay to show weakness. It's okay to say, I don't know. Hey, it's okay to cry. You know, real men do cry.
Yeah.
This is what I find, Aubrey, at the moment. Our men are caught in a confusion about their masculinity.
And those narratives, those age-old, millennia-old narratives that come from our cultures, from our faiths, about what masculinity should be, what and how it should show up in society, becomes part of the reason why perhaps gender-based violence is legitimized in some minds as a crusade against a corrupt, pervasive, permissive, evil system that is on the rise. And so you find that a lot of guys will feel at some strange level justified in ideas such as corrective rape of people who are lesbian, of people who are gay, people who are perhaps non-conformative in terms of gender roles, let me say. How does fatherhood play a role in that, and how does fatherhood play a role in perhaps resetting, recalibrating our minds for the realities of our time?
I'm trying to think if the last time we spoke, Aubrey, that we spoke about the definition of father and fatherhood.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. When I wrote my book, Daddy Come Home, Baba Buya Kaya, and Tati Tluhai, I had to research the definition of father. I found out it meant the source, it meant the seed, it meant the cause. How's that one? For whatever problem there is, there's got to be a cause. And father was listed as one of those. I came up with a definition that said father is the founder of a lifestyle. Founder of a lifestyle. Afrikaans stichter van een levenswijze in Sesotho. Motlami wa mogwa wa goedzeila. The one who teaches us our history, our ancestry, where we come from, what our values are, and those kind of things. So the lifestyle that we enjoy at the moment is because of the dad that we had or didn't have. So even if you didn't have a father, he still affected the lifestyle you are having today. This is not to discount single parenthood. This is not to discount the role of our mothers in our lives. Our country at the moment, sadly, is being held together by a single mother, some of whom are working two jobs just to make sure there's food on the table, there's electricity in the box, school fees are paid. And we take our hats off. We applaud these single mothers. But we are talking now about fatherhood and the absence of, as I said, male role models and mentors. Fathers are absent. I don't know, Aubrey, if we can ask them, where are you? Which is why my book is entitled Daddy Come Home, because we're not fighting a war at the border anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We're not fighting insurgents in Angola or whatever, or looking for Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan, or we can't say HIV or COVID is killing our men because it's killing women and children as well. So where are they? One of our big banners always says, Bana Bakai. Api Madoda, where are the men? Where are these men? What is happening to them? They're just absent. They are absolutely just absent. And so therefore, for the boys growing up, the role model is missing. So their role model becomes their mothers. Their role models become the women in the community. I, for example, I do most of my work in Westbury, where many of our sons grow up with their grandmothers and their sisters, and the house next door is exactly the same.
Yeah.
And the house next to that. So their role models are literally a bunch of strong women holding their families together. No wonder boys join gangs. They belong to gangs. They join gangs because they don't belong to a gang called family, led by a leader called father. So we see the uprising in gangsterism. We see the uprising in loss of identity and all of those kind of things.
Yeah.
Men have got, never, never, ever underestimate men, the important role that you play in society. Never, ever underestimate the role that you have to play in the home. That's why my book is also called Dad Home, because the home is the place of your greatest influence.
My guest.
You know, there are men.
Yeah.
Yes.
Somebody's asking me, who's your guest? My guest is Zane Mears. He's a highly acclaimed TV actor, director, author, and where have you been? If you don't know who Zane Mears is, but we're having a critical conversation here about the role of fathers and fatherhood. You said something very instructive, Brazane, when you said that even in his absence, the father has a resounding echo in the life of their child. Even in their absence. The absence of the father doesn't mean the absence of the hunger for the father, right?
Absolutely.
Talk to me about what that means practically. And again, we need to keep saying that this is not a conversation that wants to trivialize the role that moms play.
Absolutely.
When dads are gone, right? When dads are absent. But what is this? Why is it that dads have such a powerful role in our lives? Even when we resent their absence, even when we can't stand them for ditching us, for forgetting about us, starting another family somewhere else. But we still crave their approval. We still crave their pat on the back to say, I'm proud of you, son, or my daughter. Why is it that they are such a powerful presence in our lives that even when they are absent, we feel the absence? I'm talking about even people whose fathers have passed on, not because fathers have left the family for whatever reasons. Why is it that they have such a strong, powerful resonance in our lives, whether they're here or not?
I think because we carry their blood. I think because we carry their DNA. You know, when I did research, I found out that the baby forms its own blood from the sperm of the dad. That the mother doesn't really give the child their blood. The mother gives food. The mother gives nourishment and a safe place for the baby to develop, but the bloodline is from the father. That is why when there's a paternity test and we need to find out if you are the dad. You know, they say like, the woman's pregnant and you deny yourself the paternity. They go, well, we're going to do a blood test because we carry the father's blood. And if you are a religious person, you will understand that the life is in the blood. And so therefore we carry our father's sins. We carry we carry not only his sins, we carry his victories. We carry his very DNA is within us. And so therefore we find ourselves sometimes caught in the same patterns that our fathers were caught in. There are many, many men, and I would say women as well, who will find themselves in their second divorce, but their mother was also divorced two times. And now their daughter is pregnant, and the father of that child has just disappeared. So you find these cycles happening in family patterns and that kind of thing. And I believe it is linked to the blood. I believe we carry our fathers within us. You know, it's a line from The Lion King. He lives in you. Mm. You know, I see Mufasa inside of you, Simba. And I totally, absolutely, 100% believe that we carry our fathers within us. We carry our dads within us. That is exactly what happens. And so therefore we are always reaching back somehow to try and connect with him, to touch with him. And if you didn't have a positive male role model in your life, you are always going to hanker to no dad. Or if you didn't have a father, you know, lots of people can say to us today, I know who my mother is, but not everyone can say, I know who my dad is. Not everyone will say that. And everyone who has that missing piece within their life will tell you it is something vital. It is something they will take with them. They will grow up one day and they'll always ask their mothers, where is dad? You know, who is my father? Why is he not around? Or why do you keep saying to me, that's my father driving in that car over there? It's because they need that connection to the father figure. It is something intrinsic in a person. We can talk about this for days. You know, when my wife was pregnant with our baby, for example, the doctor told me to speak to the child. I said, no worry. When the child comes out, we'll read him all my Seven Dalan scripts and everything. He'll hear my voice. The doctor says, no, speak while the child is in the womb, because they've discovered as doctors and scientists and even psychologists that the frequency of the father's voice, listen to this, Aubrey, the frequency of the father's voice helps certain areas of the brain and personality develop. Not the mother's voice. The frequency of the father's voice helps those areas of the brain develop. And I went to the SA Psychiatry Association. I asked them. They said, absolutely, absolutely. The father's voice is vital to the development of a child. So even while before we are born, even while we're still in the womb, fathers affect their children. They affect them by what they say or don't say, do or don't do, by their presence and, of course, by their absence.
011-883-0702. Brazain Mias is my guest, author of the book Zain Mias. Of the book Daddy Come Home. He's the founder and CEO of the Fatherhood Foundation of South Africa. Give us a call as we have this conversation. Where's your dad? Where's your father? And maybe your father is around physically, but perhaps not available emotionally. What has that meant for you? How have you explained the craving, the absolute desire and need for your father's presence in your life to yourself? Maybe you don't have a very good relationship with your father directly and you have children of your own. How do you explain his absence? What questions arise from your children about their grandfather? How do you answer those questions to them, and how do you answer them to yourself? Talk to me, Brazain, about what does it mean when dad is not there? What does it mean? What is the impact of that to the child?
You know, I spoke about the voice of the dad in the womb while the baby's still in the womb. But there's an important thing that I speak about to men, and it's the sound of the father's voice in the very house, the father's presence in the house. Part of this founder of a lifestyle is that dads create the atmosphere in the house. You know, I don't know if you've seen often when your father comes, if you were young and your father came home in a bad mood, it affected the entire house.
Oh, yeah.
The dog even ran away to the backyard into his kennel because you could tell just the way the father opened the gate. He was in a bad mood, and your mother's going, "Ooh, listen, guys, just put the music softer. I can see your father's in a mood again." He affects that entire atmosphere in the house. He's the atmosphere creator. So when dad comes home with fish and chips or KFC or a pizza, oh, everyone's happy, or he got paid, and you know he's got a little something that he brought home with him. Then the whole atmosphere is changed in there, and you sit around the table and you're eating, and you can tell stories and all of that kind of stuff. Fathers create that sort of atmosphere. And I always speak about this, and I say women create the fragrance in the house, but fathers create the atmosphere.
Mm.
So the very atmosphere that we grow up in, whether it's an atmosphere of love and acceptance or fear, you know, is created by that very person. Then his voice is so important. The sound of a father's voice is so important. I believe that daughters need to hear a lot of things from their father, a lot of things. But there's two vital things she needs to hear from her father's mouth. And that is, I love you and you are beautiful. The first person to tell a girl, I love you, should be her father. And the first person to tell her she's beautiful should be daddy. Not that guy on the street corner or you know.
Yeah, with a cell phone. Airtime. Hey, my bro.
You know.
Yeah, you know. You know the story. How airtime to our little girls it has become such a hook.
I
do a bit of, you know, talking to young people myself, and how this airtime story became and how easy these guys, just by supplying airtime, are able to capture our daughters in that way. And I get it when you say that the first person that a daughter should hear say, "I love you and you are beautiful," should be the father, because they set out how to understand love for the rest of their life, right?
Absolutely.
What they will accept and not accept from a man will be determined by the father and how he has rubber stamped himself on the very soul of his daughter, right?
Absolutely, yes. It is so vital. And you know, I have seen beautiful girls who have the lowest self-esteem you can imagine, simply because of the words the father speaks over his children and the way he treats the mother, that the girls then have very low self-esteem, irrespective of what they look like or how their prestige is at school or any of that kind of thing. They have a very low self-esteem. Then I have seen girls, I mean, if you've seen a group of girls walking down the street, there's the pretty one on the left-hand side with the long hair.
Yeah.
And then there's a short one on the other side with a figure. She's got the mini skirt on. But the girl in the middle is not as pretty as that one, and she doesn't have the figure of this one. Mm. But she carries herself a certain way that is attractive to the eye, and because of the confidence that she carries herself in. And you already know that that girl comes from a home where she is affirmed, where she is loved, and it is known to her that she is valued in the home. And that is the importance of fatherhood. Once a girl tells a girl, "I love you and you're beautiful," no silver-tongued guy is going to come and try and steal that away. And, you know, how sad was it, Aubrey, when we got the statistics of 2021, 23,000 young girls are pregnant from the age of 10.
Sure.
How do you fall pregnant at the age of 10? Because I'll tell you, that child comes from a single parent home and the mother is too busy doing keeping that family together to worry about where she is at a certain time of night or during the day when they should be at school or whatever. Fatherhood is vitally important. Fatherhood.
I want to talk a little, Brazain. I want to take some calls as they come in. 011-883-0702. Are your daughter? What has your father's presence, words, covering meant for you? Yeah? What are some of the things that you remember of your father if he's passed on? If he's still alive, what is it that has been an anchor for you in terms of your character and how you carry yourself? I'd love to hear from you, but I want to hear from guys. Mandi is in Orange Farm. Good evening to you, Mandi.
Good evening, Bravi, and your guest.
Sure, go ahead, Bramandi.
Bravi, I'm really grateful that I got the chance to be part of this conversation tonight. Because I grew up I was raised by a single parent, being my mother, and my father was absent in my life, and I never got to meet him. I never got to see him, but I never saw that as a bad thing, because my mother did everything she could to make sure that I get everything. I'm a child, like I'm different to other children. As time went by, as I matured, I saw that a family dynamic, like I'm raised different. I don't have a father, because other children had their fathers in their homes and everything, and then 2008, we found out that my father had passed on. And as I matured, I came to understand that, since I can't have my biological father, I'm in need of a father figure.
Yes.
Because in grade 11, in matric, sorry, I remember I had a breakdown because I was scared. I'd come to realize that I'm now going to get a chance to change my life and eradicate the poverty in my house. And fear kicked in. You see, I don't have a support that I would have loved. And I never really had a masculine hand, a masculine support.
Yeah.
I'm surrounded by only women in my house. And my uncles, they were in prison, in and out. So I never got a chance of a father figure, you know. So it's something I'm still struggling with even today. And it's like, you won't believe this. I was having a breakdown even yesterday, telling my mother that I would take it upon myself to travel to the Eastern Cape, not knowing where I'm going, but to find the family of my father, you know, because right in February, I'm going to turn 25, and I had a different hope of my life by the age of 25, but I don't have that peace.
The peace, my brother.
I fear that I'm only years passed by, I'm growing up. I don't know how to act. I don't know how to become a man. I don't know how to express my feelings towards women, towards everyone. And I've taken so many decisions that I regret today because of I never got the support that I would have loved to get. Not that I'm belittling my mother, but to give you an example, I want to get decision to abort a child with a girlfriend because I couldn't go to my mother with it. But now, today, it haunts me to death to think, Uti, I did that, I took that decision, and it wasn't the best one after all. So if I could really get that help, this is a cry out for help, a hand, that if I could really get someone to hold my hand from a male perspective, I'd really be glad.
Yeah, and that's exactly the work that Brazine does, by the way, Mandy. And let me first say this to you. The fact that you've made this call and you've allowed yourself to be vulnerable in this way says to me that you're well on your way of your healing. Because how do we get help if we don't cry out for it, right, Mandy? Brazine? Zane?
Yes.
Yeah, how do we respond to...
I want to say, firstly, after everything that I've said, what I've discovered over the years is that fatherhood is not necessarily biological. Fatherhood is not necessarily biological. Your father figure can be an older brother. Your father figure can be your grandfather. Your father figure can be your uncle. Your father figure can be who your father figure is. You know, different people eventually find when they don't have a biological dad, when they don't have a present father in their lives, they find that male role model, they find that mentor, they find that person that they can latch onto and chat to. And I want to say to our caller that just because your dad has passed on, you didn't know him, that is not the end of the world for you. That is not necessarily a death sentence or the death now. You can still find a strong male role model in someone. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I fully understand where you are at, my brother. I fully understand where you're at, where you're going. I don't know how to behave as a man. But there are male role models out there, positive ones. And I've got to use that word positive because there are so many negative male role models out there. And young men always say to me, they say to me, Zane, now I grew up without a father. What kind of dad am I going to be? Then I tell them, I say, you become the father that you wished you had. So if your father never said to you, I love you, you tell your children each and every day, as much as you can, I love you. If your father never came to any of your soccer games or rugby games or cricket games, you make sure you go to as many of your children's sports events as you can.
That's how you find healing, right?
That's in such a way you start healing yourself. You start giving. When you give out of an emptiness, you give it counts as double. Because you never had it. Now you're giving it. It counts almost as double. You find yourself healing. You find yourself experiencing something. And you know, I've known a couple of men who do this. And suddenly they get an understanding of their father and why he couldn't do certain things.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about going to sports games. I'm talking about other things, like saying, I love you or whatever. They suddenly begin to find an understanding about, well, I now know why it was so difficult for my father to ever admit this thing because I'm now in that same situation. But thank heavens I have someone that can guide me and coach me through this. Whereas my dad didn't have that. Yeah. And in his day, men didn't talk. Men didn't discuss feelings. Men didn't show emotion. Yeah. So he had to live with it, you know. So I hear you, my brother.
Yeah. So Mandy, I want you to keep listening so that at the end of this conversation, you can take the contact details for the Fatherhood Foundation. I believe that the relationship that you're looking for a positive role model, which is a legitimate desire of any child's heart, it can be fulfilled in the work that you can do with the Fatherhood Foundation. All right, Mandy?
I really love that, bro.
All right, my brother. You stay strong, yeah? And your vulnerability tonight has strengthened you.
Can I just say this, Barobi?
Yep.
I'm mature enough now to know what I need. And from in the environment that I grew up under, I've been in the space where I took a step to find myself a father figure or a role model. But it's really hard in where I'm from, in environment. I'm not really exposed to people who would really upon themselves.
Mandy, let me let you go, my brother. But thank you very much. Keep listening and take the contact details that Brazain is going to give, right?
I'll do that. Thank you.
All right, Mandy in Orange Farm. Lebo is in Krugersdorp. Hi, Lebo.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. I'm very well. Thank you, Lebo. What's on your mind, Mama?
Yeah, I would like to agree with the gentleman that the fathers play a very big role in the women's life or the girls' life. Mm. When I was growing up, I grew up with my brother and my cousin, and I was darker and they were lighter in complexion. They used to tease me. Mm. My father saw me as a princess, and he used to say that to me, you're a princess, and don't ever give them a Jew. So that word, don't ever give them a Jew, is the word that I have taken with me throughout my life, my career and everything. You go for interviews, things don't work out, you tell yourself, don't give them a Jew.
Mm.
You have a relationship, it doesn't work out, you tell yourself, don't give it a Jew. You know, just stand tall, it will come right.
So there's an abiding, if I understand you correctly, Lebo, there's an abiding sort of principle that was sort of inserted by your father that keeps you strong in moments of difficulty, yeah?
Yes. And I was going to say, a funny thing is, I also grew up at the boarding school because it was around that time of the 1980s with everything that was going on in Soweto. And he is the one that I actually wrote a letter to tell him that I'm on my period. I didn't even know the words, but he's the one that received the letter to know that I was on my period.
Yeah.
He drove a motorbike from Soweto to Petersburg to bring me the pets so that I can be okay. So everything that I was going through, I was able to talk to him more than I could talk to my mom, even though my mom was very hardworking and she was there.
Yes.
But my dad was there for everything. So I would really, really like to ask the gentleman.
Yeah.
And the fact that I'm able to say this relationship is not working because I'm not getting the love that I understood, that my father taught me.
Yes.
And some of the things it's about understanding your needs and your wants, because my mom was very hardworking. My dad used to say, you need to tone down because you need to understand your needs and your wants. So even if the budget doesn't tie up for me, I always think back to that. Understand your needs and your wants so that you can slow down or accept your difficulty.
Lebo, thank you so much for your call. I really, really appreciate it. Lebo in Krugersdorp. Brazain, some more messages coming through on Twitter. Dikeledi Waka Malebia says, my dad is my first love. Though he passed away when I was 13 years old, he definitely made an impact in my life. I relive his love even today. I owe my strong personality to him, says Dikeledi. Mulan says, Mandla, I'm sending him a hug, Braobs. Eish, this father thing is a crisis. I had uncles whom I adored and brothers, but I tell you, that gap, no one can fill that gap. I'm 40 plus and my father died when I was 21. But I tell you, I still wish I had a chance with him. Says Mulan on the Twitter handle. Here's an interesting thing, Brazain, that I'd like for you to comment on, but also talk to me about leadership. and fatherhood. We started off this conversation and you were listening to the conversation I was having about the dearth of leadership, ethical leadership, positive leadership, and what role fatherhood plays there. And let me also again insert this disclaimer. This is not a conversation about the comparison between motherhood and fatherhood. In other words, this is not a conversation that is in any way trying to trivialize the role that motherhood plays, because we could have hours and hours and hours of the power that is represented by motherhood in our lives, right? Please don't understand it in those terms. But we are isolating fatherhood. Here's a message, I mean a question that I'd like for you to perhaps deal with, Prazeen. This person says, the concept of attraction is relative. Double parent home children are also get pregnant. Yeah. So perhaps you need to deal with the idea that when we are talking about the 23,000 children that were reported to have been pregnant last year, as young as 10 years old, that it's not entirely just about the issue of fatherlessness. Double parent parents also produce children that fall pregnant at a young age. How do you respond to that, Prazeen?
Well, I agree. I'm sure that is true. But I guarantee you that if we were to go and look at the statistics, the majority of those children would come from single parent homes. And I tell you, it has to do what I spoke about earlier, about the voice of a father, that these children have not been affirmed properly, that they haven't been given their worth. You know, Alicia Keys, American R&B singer, sings a song about a woman's worth. Mm-hmm. But a woman doesn't get a worth from a car or a boyfriend or her weave or the group of friends that she hangs out with or a church group, whatever. A woman gets her worth from her father, who speaks those two vital things to her first. And so you know, I would love to look at those statistics, but I also just, Aubrey, while we're going to segue into that leadership thing, yeah, I quickly want to go around to the men and say that men, boys, also need to hear two things from their dad. And those two vital things are, I'm proud of you and you have it. He doesn't need to know what he has, but if the father tells him, my son, you've got it, I tell you, that's a confidence builder right there. Mm. I have seen at the soccer matches and at my kids' soccer match, and I just say, come on, boy, you've got it. Just go for it, you know. And even if they lose, afterwards I say to him, I'm proud of you. And then he'll say, but we lost. I'm saying, no, it's not about the winning or the losing. I saw you play with heart. I saw you play. That's the kind of affirmation boy children need to hear in their lives, as opposed to, well, first bring me home a good report. Mm. First score a goal.
A transactional relationship with your child.
Yes.
It's dangerous, man. That's what kills us, you know, when we put a conditionality to our love for our children. Prazeen, I'm worried about our time. Talk to me about leadership and how fatherhood plays a role in that space. Ethical leadership.
Let me bring you quickly to can we just go back and I'll be as quick as I can. At the birth of our democracy, 27 odd years ago, we had a father who led our nation. We had a person who was a founder of a lifestyle. A guy who came out of prison and people said, oh, we're going to fight. He said, no fighting, love. We said, we're going to do he said, no. He set the tone and the example for the entire nation. He went to hug Betsy Verwoerd, you know. Mm. He went onto the rugby field wearing number 6 with Francois Pienaar indeed. And he set the entire tone for the nation. That was a father. And I tell you, more than a politician, more than a political party, what our country needs again is a father figure. Politicians will only worry, most politicians, I shouldn't say all politicians, most politicians will just worry about the next election. Real leaders, real fathers, worry about the next generation. That is the difference in leadership today. It's not about what I can get out now and how I look now. It's about what legacy am I leaving for the people who are going to follow after me. Would that we have had a generation like that. We had a father figure, Nelson Mandela, Tata Madiba, who set the tone and example for this. After that, we had a statesman, Mbeki, who was great. Then things went a bit downhill with Jacob Zuma. And the vote is still out on what kind of leader our current president is going to be. Is he going to be that guy to unite us and make us feel like we have a leader, we have a father, we have a guy setting the tone for us and that kind of thing? That is the kind of leadership we are talking about, Orvi, that I believe our country requires today.
Men are listening to this program right now. If I were to go by the messages that I'm getting, hundreds of messages just coming through, Brazil, men are listening to this conversation. Women are listening to this conversation. How do we reignite? How do we reconnect with that father principle in our lives? How do we wake it up? How do we give it expression one more time? And is this perhaps a conversation between two right-wing guys, Zane and Aubrey?
Be very conservative.
Sure. And you know, we can have that. Yeah. The issue though is how do we reignite fatherhood? How do we wake it up?
I would like, you know, the slogan for my organization, the Fatherhood Foundation of South Africa, is changing families one man at a time. If our conversation tonight could have affected one person, then the hour that we spent together chatting was well worth it. I want to encourage men to not necessarily think that you need to have a lot of money to be a good father. You don't have to be good looking. You don't have to live in a big house. You don't have to be famous and be on television or whatever. Children don't understand the value of rich and poor at this age, but they know the difference between an absence or the presence of love. Start in your home. Start in your home. The way you love your wife sets an example for your son and daughter watching you. Start in the home. First, be a leader in your house. What is the point of being a private failure at home, but in public, you are a hero? Public hero, but private failure. Mm-hmm. Rather be a hero in your house. Rather have the loving respect of your kids and the adoration of the eyes that they look at you with those adorations. Rather have that in your home. Don't go out in society and try and be something fantastic. Just in your own house. That's how we start. We start by changing it one family at a time.
Brazen, how do people get in touch with you? How do people get in touch with the foundation? And how do people get a hold of the book, Daddy Come Home?
They contact the organization. Info@FFSA. FFSA stands for Fatherhood Foundation South Africa. .org.za. Not .co, .org. Info@FFSA.org.za. That is probably the best way. Our office number, I don't know if our office, WhatsApp is a good one, because WhatsApp is a good thing these days. 084-599-6536. 084-599-6536 or WhatsApp.
Zane Mears, it was great talking to you, my brother, and I hope we can talk some more, but it has really been wonderful talking to you. Much appreciated.
Anytime, my brother. Anytime.
Zane Mears, highly acclaimed South African TV actor, director, and author, CEO of Fathers Foundation of South Africa.